Chapter 14. Emily felt uncomfortable as she changed into the semi-uniforms they were expected to wear for martial magic. It had been hard to get used to wearing robes, but after 4 days she'd found that they were preferable, in some ways, to her normal clothes. They not only concealed everything, they enforced a certain equality among their wearers. The uniforms, on the other hand, were tight-fitting and itched in embarrassing places. It didn't help that the only thing separating the 4 girls in the class from the 20 boys was a very thin partition. But they would keep her warm. Owing to the high level of magic in the air surrounding the castle, Aloha had warned her, the weather could change with terrifying speed. It might be raining one moment and then sunny the next. "Remember what I said," Aloha muttered as they finished dressing and headed for the doorway leading out into the field. "You mess this up for us, and I'll make sure that you suffer." Emily shivered as the boys ran ahead of her towards the middle of a grassy field where the sergeants were waiting. She'd asked around, but all she'd been able to find out was that the sergeants only taught one class at Whitehall and never had anything to do with anyone outside their classes. Emily couldn't decide if that was a good sign or not, but as they came into view, she had to fight down the urge to swallow hard or to run. The first sergeant looked thoroughly intimidating. He motioned for them to form a line as he studied them, his one good eye catching Emily's before he looked at the next student. The sergeant looked like a gym teacher from hell. He was easily the most muscular man Emily had ever seen. His left eye was missing, leaving burned flesh and scars that seemed to have become part of his skin, and his right eye kept flickering around the field as if he expected to be attacked at any moment. There was no hair on his head at all. The second sergeant looked rather more reassuring. He was a short man with brown hair, a friendly face, and, as far as she could tell, an undamaged body. She met his eyes and realized that no matter what he looked like, there was a formidable personality in there just waiting to explode.
"Greetings," the first sergeant said. "My name is Sergeant Harkin. This is Sergeant Miles. I served in the Rangers as a Pathfinder, then as a sergeant for 12 years. Miles served as a combat sorcerer for 9 years. We have both fought the monstrous armies raised by the necromancers, which means, for those of you who care to understand, that we know what we're talking about. Those of you who still think you know everything need to forget that attitude right now. Whitehall insists that we give you all a written test. This test will have no bearing upon your potential skill as a soldier of any kind, even if you intend to try to become an officer. So we will be happy to hand out cheat sheets to anyone who wants to pass the exam with a perfect score. The reason we offer these is because the exams are not important to your success. I intend to graduate you all as potential combat sorcerers, and we don't have time to waste."
Emily heard gasps from 4 of the boys. They looked older than she. They were older, unless they'd advanced faster than Emily believed to be possible, and they would be coping with endless tests and exams as their studies solidified into specialties. Being told that an exam was useless, it would be a shock, even though Emily had grown up in a universe where almost all basic exams were useless. The sergeant had merely put it into words.
"There are 3 sections to martial magic. Drill, tactics, and magical combat," the sergeant continued. "Drill is where you young children learn to obey orders, and then how to keep your bodies primed for the fight. You do not want to have an unhealthy mind in an unhealthy body if you intend to follow a military career. Some of you will not be used to the concept of obeying orders. We suggest that you forget that attitude as well. You cannot be trusted to issue orders unless you first understand the need to obey them. Tactics studies military combat and operations throughout the ages, and how to apply them to the current situation. Instead of a written exam, you will be tested in the field and given practical problems to solve. We will be judging you on how quickly you adapt to a sudden change in the situation, how well your plan works when it actually encounters the enemy, and how you manage to convince your classmates to follow orders. Failure need not be a problem as long as you learn from your mistakes. Magical combat involves magic specifically designed for military uses," he concluded. "You may have used charms, hexes, and jinxes in your earlier years. They are nothing more than jokes compared to the curses written specifically for military use. A charm intended to make a person's clothes fall off their body is a practical joke. A curse intended to maim or kill an enemy is a lethal weapon. As we know that you are young students, we will not move on to magical combat for several weeks. This is so that we can run you through drills and tactics and teach you little monsters how to obey orders before you start experimenting with military spells. We want you to develop the discipline to handle the spells before you blow up yourselves, your classmates, or, more importantly, us.
His voice turned to ice.
This is not a place where you can horse around without consequences. The spells you will learn here are not jokes. Seeing that you are young, and therefore idiotic students, the first person to misbehave in this class will be stripped naked and horsewhipped from here to the burned oak.
He pointed towards a tree in the far distance.
And back again. If that isn't enough to deter you from misbehavior, any further examples will result in immediate expulsion from the class. This is your first and last warning. For the first 3 weeks, any of you who wish to leave this class may do so without consequences. After that, anyone who leaves, either of their own accord or by being expelled, will have a disastrous effect on their squad mates. The military is not a place for rogue assassins or lone wolves. The military is a place where you must be able to depend upon your fellows and have them depend upon you in turn. Half of the exercises we will make you do will be impossible to solve without working together. If your fellows are in trouble, help them. If you can't think of a solution, work with them. You never know who will come up with a good idea in the field.
The sergeant's single eye fell on Emily, and she shivered.
For those of you who are of the fairer sex, be aware that we make absolutely no distinction between boys and girls in this class. There are combat sorceresses who have been a credit to the army. They all went through the same course and passed with flying colors. None of them found it easy. If you have problems or injuries, if any of you have problems or injuries, I expect you to inform us before it becomes a major problem. You'd be surprised at just how many famous soldiers swallowed their pride in training and admitted that there was a problem.
His face twisted into an unpleasant smile.
That's enough blather from me,
he said, pointing one finger towards the burned oak in the distance.
All of you, when I give the order, run to that oak and back here.
There was a pause.
Run!
Emily jumped, just as the line of students broke up and started to run towards the oak. Catching herself, she ran straight towards the oak, feeling her heartbeat racing as she ran. Her entire body started to ache a moment later, as if she hadn't run in years. And she hadn't, apart from a handful of gym classes. The ground felt slippery and unsteady under her feet. Everyone, even the other girls, were ahead of her. She would have cursed Void aloud if she had been able to catch her breath. If she'd known that she would be called upon to do physical exercise, she would have practiced running before the first class.
Move!
A voice snapped in her ear. Sergeant Miles was directly behind her, carrying a baton which he used to aim a swat at her rear. Emily somehow managed to avoid the blow and kept running as he lifted his voice.
The enemy is behind you. Run!
The burned oak seemed to stink of dark magic as she ran around it and back towards their starting point. Some of the boys were slowing down, although they were all still moving as fast as they could, well ahead of her. Aloha, Emily noted, was doing very well indeed. The girl would have had plenty of time to practice. Sergeant Harkin was counting out loud as the runners raced past him and screeched to a halt, several skidding and falling backwards onto the grass. Emily barely managed to outrun one of the younger boys in the class, to come in second to last.
Pathetic,
Harkin said. He seemed to be condemning all of them, not just the ones who had come in last.
Absolutely pathetic. And to think that you are all the great hope of the future.
His voice sharpened as he pointed into the distance.
Do you know what lurks over those peaks?
Emily followed his finger southwards. Perhaps she was imagining it, but there seemed to be a sensation of doom from where the necromancers were lurking, awaiting their chance to fall upon the allied lands like wolves on unsuspecting sheep. It was a reminder that their society was at war. Even if the allied lands seemed to prefer squabbling amongst themselves for the time being, The book Emily had read, produced by the history monks, had made it clear that the only thing that had prevented the necromancers from winning already was their own disunity and their tendency to fight each other from time to time. United, the necromancers would have crushed the allied lands a long time ago.
"We are at war," Harkin snapped. "There are monsters out there that could tear you apart with their bare hands. You have to work hard to develop yourself so you can stand between the allied lands and the devastation the necromancers would bring to your friends, your family, and everyone else. Follow me."
He spun around and marched off in the direction of a dark forest, part of Whitehall's grounds.
"This forest is off limits to everyone, unless you happen to be taking martial magic," he thundered, still moving. "Do not bring your friends here for fun."
Up close, the forest looked ominously dark and shadowy. Emily could sense something within the tangled trees, a hint of magic that might manifest into something dangerous for any unwary travelers. After what Professor Thand had told them, it was easy to believe that some of the countryside had been forced to evolve by mana, becoming hideously dangerous. Who knew what lurked inside the forest?
"You two work together,"
Harkin snapped, pointing at two of the boys.
"You two."
He kept assigning partners, assigning Emily to a boy who looked 5 years older than she.
"I'm Jade," the boy said, sticking out a hand.
Emily shook it gravely. At least he wasn't spending time checking out her chest, unlike too many boys on Earth, and her stepfather when he was drunk. Jade smiled at her.
"I hear that you were a child of destiny."
Emily flushed. "Don't believe everything you hear. I am..."
"Am I interrupting something?"
Harkin demanded, appearing right in front of them. Jade and Emily exchanged glances before Jade spoke up.
"No, sir."
"Good,"
Harkin snapped. He glared at all 12 pairs.
"All you have to do is get from one end of the forest to the other. We will be waiting on the other side to see who comes out first and who gets so badly stuck that we have to rescue them. Any questions?"
There was a long moment of silence.
"First team, then,"
Harkin said. He jabbed a finger at Jade and Emily.
"In you go, carefully."
The interior of the forest was dark, so dark that the temperature dropped sharply the moment they were under the leafy canopy. It looked surprisingly normal, yet Emily couldn't escape the sensation that there were watching eyes all around, following their every move. When she glanced backwards, the forest seemed to go on forever, with no sign of Whitehall or of their fellow students. She couldn't even hear Harkin's bellow as he prepared to send in the next team.
"This way," Jade said, taking the lead and casting a basic spell into the air. "Watch out for traps."
Emily flushed. She should have thought of that. The sergeants might have created a magical minefield just to test their prospective students, rather than simply using a mana-tainted forest that might behave in an unpredictable manner. They might want to push the students to the limit, as well as weeding out those who couldn't hack it, but she doubted that they wanted to kill them. Their surroundings became eerier as they walked further into the darkness. Strange lights flickered in the distance, tiny flashes of lightning that danced at the corner of her eye. They crossed a stream that made no sound, as if someone had cast a silencing charm over the entire running water, but they could still hear themselves talk. Emily stopped dead when Jade halted, holding out one hand. A moment later, she sensed a spell waiting for them just ahead.
"Stay very still," Jade whispered.
The spell seemed to be moving slightly, as if it were a snake preparing to strike.
"We're going to have to dispel it."
Emily blinked at him, keeping her own voice low. "Why can't we just creep backwards?"
"Because any motion will attract it," Jade said. "We stumbled right into it, and now we have to either dispel it or let it strike us."
He scowled.
"Judging from all the warnings, it will probably give us a nasty shock, even if it doesn't do anything else. Stay still."
He held up one hand and started casting charms towards the spell. Emily was impressed. One of them was the standard dispelling charm, but the other three were unfamiliar. The spell ahead of them seemed to pause and then vanished into nothingness. Jade grinned at her in triumph and walked forward. A moment later, there was a flash of light. His entire body locked solid. Emily stared in disbelief, slowly realizing what had happened.
The sergeants had hidden a second spell behind the first, knowing that anyone who dispelled the first spell would rush onwards without taking the time to check for a second surprise. Carefully, she cast the analysis spell into the air, praying that it would work perfectly this time. Somewhat to her surprise, it did, revealing that the paralysis spell was simple enough that it could be easily dispelled. She started to cast the dispelling charm before hesitating and running a detection charm over the entire area. Two more nasty surprises revealed themselves before she accidentally triggered them. And, she realized, they were designed to ensure that anyone who tried to deactivate them in the wrong sequence would trigger the spells instead. Devious, she thought. How much time did they have in the forest? Carefully, she picked the spell she thought was the right one and dispelled it. Nothing happened to her, but the next spell was coming to life. Working quickly, she dispelled it too, then removed the paralysis spell, gripping Jade. He stumbled and almost fell to the ground.
My thanks, he said, flushing awkwardly. I should have thought to check for other surprises before I dispelled the first spell.
You would have done it for me, Emily assured him, although she wasn't sure if that were true. Jade might have been one of the students who'd resented her appearance in martial magic, even though he'd never threatened her before class. Now, how do we get out of here?
This way, Jade said. Or do you want to go first this time?
The question proved moot. 3 steps later, they found themselves in bright sunlight, right at the edge of the forest. Emily glanced behind them in confusion and saw an impenetrable mass of trees and darkness. The noises of the natural world suddenly blared in her ears, and she staggered, hearing birds calling to their mates and horses neighing in the distance. High overhead, she thought she saw, just for a single moment, a dragon.
We're third, Jade said in annoyance. How did they get ahead of us?
He'd spoken quietly, but Miles had very sharp ears.
They didn't waste so much time dispelling spells after stumbling into obvious traps, he said dryly. Next time, what are you going to do?
Check first, Jade said, finally.
He looked embarrassed.
I didn't think to check.
Emily looked over at Aloha, who had managed to emerge from the forest with her partner. Her roommate looked surprised, and then nodded slowly. Emily hoped that meant she'd decided there might be a place for Emily in martial magic after all, even though she still felt decidedly out of place and unhealthy. Sergeant Harkin cleared his throat.
3 teams ended up stuck in the forest, he pronounced, rather like a judge passing sentence. Why, one person didn't even help his partner and ran straight into another trap.
His voice darkened.
Remember this experience. Take nothing for granted. Watch your back and help your partner. The next proper exercise will be a great deal worse.
The sergeant chuckled.
Everyone who made it through the forest can go wash and then have dinner, he said with a grim smile. Everyone else can wait until we free them.
Emily nodded, feeling her body aching after one day of martial magic. What would the next day be like?